you all a lovely Christmas. It's good to see you all here today. So that was a tricky wee service, this one, because it's before waiting for New Year. But God's given us something for today. I want you to open your Bibles up if you want, 2 Kings chapter 7, on your application or your news. And I want to read one verse. Just going cold turkey this morning, no PowerPoints, no handouts, no nothing, just going for it. Give everybody a rest this weekend. So you're all there now. But listen to what God drew me to in Psalm 65, verse 11. 65, verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. Let me say that again. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. Hallelujah. And I've loved that this week. I've been in there for a little while this week. Did you ever notice something? And it seems so suddenly new, only to discover that it's always been there. You ever had one of those moments? The only thing different is that you finally became aware of it at that moment. It's like that moment when you finally become aware how much God loves you. And it's an exhilarating and it is an exciting moment. You suddenly become aware of how good God is to you and I, His children. Are you glad about that?
Yeah.
When I read a verse like this and I think of all the things that God has done for me personally, and still God is telling me through the Word of God that even for me, He wants to do more for me. Thanks, Debbie. Amen. I am constantly encouraged because I know that no matter what, God has still great and good things in store for me.
Yeah.
Wonderful things for me. In fact, I would go as far to say, this year's coming to an end. I am determined that my cup is going to continually run over. Yeah. I'm going to keep on spilling over with the goodness of God. So 2019... for me, I'm going to say this with faith, has been a year that God has crowned with His goodness. With His greatness and goodness. And as this year, it comes very quickly to an end. You may be through that moment, all that time of much reflection as to what has happened in your life over the last 12 months of 2019. And some of you could stand here today and you would have amazing testimonies of thankfulness and to the goodness of God. Others could testify to the incredible challenges that you've gone through. Some have taken some sad losses and hits. While some others may think of health issues they've had to face and are still facing today. Some would say, Pastor, this without a shadow of doubt has been my best years. But others will say to me also, it's been hard. And it could have been a lot better. And so in many ways, the year 2019 for so many has been just as so many other years gone before it. And like so many others, it's had its chain of trials and tests. It's had its defeats, but it's had its victories. Amen. There's not a single day in 2019 that we've not made it through. Praise God. The Lord has blessed me in the last year. As He blessed you. The Lord has blessed me. And I would go as far to say in our songs of thankfulness today, we are somewhat remiss if we are not thankful for what God has done for us and the blessings He has given us. And so my great prayer for this church, this beautiful church, is the coming year will be one in which God will give you a bountiful harvest. Who's up for that? A bountiful harvest. And as we get ready and prepare ourselves to step into a new year, what comfort and joy it is to know today that the goodness of God is upon every one of us. And we're blessed because of it. So I will make a faith statement now for 2020. And I will say, God crowns this year. He crowns this year. His grace, God's grace, will crown every day we face in the coming year, even with its challenges and even with its tests. And as we go through life, and we're going through life right now, most of us are going to find ourselves in one of two different states of mind. Either, simple stuff, either we are on top of the world and things are going incredibly great for us or good for us, or we're going to find ourselves, second state, down in the valley when things aren't really going the way that we would like them to go or they could, to say these things for the least or for the better. So the first state of mind in Scripture, we know exactly where God is. We know exactly what God's been up to because we see the results, and it's easy to speak life into that situation with that state of mind, because right now for you and for some of us, life is good. But for the second state of mind, are we not sometimes very quick to forget? We forget the things that God has done. We forget the people who's come into our life and blessed us. We forget these things. We think God right now is actually nowhere to be found, because the results that we are longing for, we think are far from happening in our life. Doors seem to be only closing, and we have a hard time speaking life into the specific situation that we find ourselves in. Because sometimes, I'm going to say this, sometimes for everyone, and I include myself here, sometimes we must remind ourselves who it is that is resident in my life, who's resident in my heart today. We are longing for so many things, and sometimes we need to look inward, do we not? We need to look inward and ask ourselves, what are we expecting in life today? What are we expecting from this good life that God has given us today? And there are times we must listen. We need to listen and ask ourselves, hey, what is coming out of my mouth today? What's coming out of my mouth? For instance, are we really speaking words of life over our situations? Have we forgotten? I think we've forgotten some stuff, by the way. I think we've forgotten that the God we serve is a God who operates in the suddenly moments. Who could do with a suddenly moment in Jesus? Every one of us, I'm sure, could. God is a God right now of great possibilities for my life and for your life. God's God we serve is a God whose timing is never out. His timing is perfect. The God who always knows exactly what you need and what is best for your life. So if you kept your Bible open there, a bit bizarre this morning, the scripture we're coming from, 2 Kings chapter 7, we're going to cover the first 20 verses. Don't panic, we're not going to be here all morning. If I get an amen once in a while, I'll be even shorter. Elisha speaks and says, listen, God's word, amen. Who loves the word of God? It's a challenge for some of us, isn't it? To be really steeped and endowed in the word of God. Listen, God's word, the famine is over. This time tomorrow, food will be plentiful. I'm reading from the Message Bible, by the way. A handful of meal for a shekel, two handfuls of grain for a shekel. The market at the city gate will be buzzing. Now the attendant on whom the king leaned for support said to the holy man, you expect us to believe that? Trap doors opened in the sky and food tumbling out. Listen to the response. You'll watch it with your own eyes, he says, but you will not eat so much as a mouthful. Have you ever had one of those moments, or how many of you have been talking to someone who acted like they were paying attention to you? Have you had these moments? But when you asked them then what you said, they couldn't seem to come up with anything that remotely resembled the conversation you were having. Kayla, feel your eyes. The man Eugene was on last night, and Gail might not as well be in the room. She was talking to me. God forgive me. See, sometimes, watch this, sometimes we think we're listening with our ears, but we're not really hearing the word of God. We're not really hearing the word God is sending and giving to us with our hearts. And there's a massive difference right there. See, we are to establish our faith in God's possibilities. We are not in our head, but in our hearts. That's the right place. And whether you and I today realize this or not, we are snared. We are snared by the words that come out of our mouths. Every one of us, which means for everyone here today, sooner or later, what comes out of my mouth or your mouth is either going to promote or sabotage what's happening in my life today, or what happens in your life today. Because each and every day, every single one of us here will make a choice. We'll have a choice to make either for you and I, either our cup is going to be running over or it's not. We are the decider in whether a cup runs over or whether a cup is empty. Now move on to verses 3 and 4. It happened that four lepers were sitting just outside the city gate. They said to one another, "What are you doing sitting here at death's door? If we enter the famine-struck city, we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. So let's take our chances in the camp of Haran and throw ourselves on their mercy. If they receive us, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die. But here's the thing. We have absolutely nothing to lose." Listen, do you believe, when you look at that story, do you believe that God is bigger than any of life's circumstances? And he is. No matter what we look like, we thank God for that. Because today, if I am faced with a life-threatening situation, I will choose to believe God's word. That's how I live my life. His word says, "I shall live and not die." It says, "By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed." I believe the word of God. I believe it's accurate. I believe it's authentic. I believe it is true. Joshua, the classic verse in Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "If you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. Choose one of the gods of your ancestors they worshipped from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites on whose land you are living now." The classic line, "As for me and my family, we will worship God." Have you made that stand? I trust you have. Because whether it's my own thinking or whether it's your own thinking, my circumstances, the pain in my body, my doctor, my family, my friends, all of those things, as I see through spiritual eyes, all of these things are distractions, and they simply take our focus over what God can do and what God wants to do in my life. Praise God. So here's the thing today. Joshua is speaking, and Joshua is telling them, "Hey, here's the deal. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You can do whatever you want to do. But as for me today, I make a statement of faith. As for my house, I'm going to believe God." Yeah. That's the deal. I'm going to believe God. So he's basically saying, it may not look like things are working out right now for us guys, but I'm going to believe God anyway. I'm going to trust God anyway. And if we listen to this, if we, you and I, are waiting right now on doors to swing open for us, God is saying right now for somebody, "I want you to stand in the hallway and praise me. And praise me and give me the glory." And I wonder if someone's catching this with your heart today, because your ears will always say no. They'll always say no. Only your heart established by the promise of God's grace will stand up and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe." So if today we're expecting godly spiritual results, when a deliverance word comes your way, we should expect to receive. We should believe, and then we should receive the word of God and say amen to whatever God is saying to our life. Our response should be not, "You can't expect me to believe that. You can't expect me to believe that trap goes in the sky and fruit tumbling out. Come on. Come on, get a life there." So here's what the word of God is saying. We can either, which we do very often, we can either focus on the problems of life, or we can focus on the problem solver. That's the choice that we have to make. Because I don't know about you, but I am thirsty and I covet more blessings from God. I am greedy for more things from God. Everyone wants or should want more blessings in life. We should want our prayers to be answered. We should want every single one of our needs to be met. And you say, "If I had more blessings, Pastor, and more of my prayers were answered, then you'd actually find me a much happier person. That work out for you really, because if you're a believer, here's the thing, if you're a believer and believe in Jesus Christ today, then you already have access to the abundant life. It's already been given to you. God has promised you that in the Word of God. But I wonder, are we participating by walking in it and declaring we have God's promises in our lives each and every single moment of each and every single day? Because here's the way I see it. God is always ready to do His part. God is doing His part. The question is, are we doing our part in the kingdom of God? Are we playing our part to praise, to pray before Him, or to praise and give thanks every moment of every day? To thank God no matter what's going on, to thank God regardless almost of your situation, because this is the way God wants those who belong to Jesus to live their life, and this is the way we'll win non-believers to faith in Jesus Christ. When they look at you in the very midst of your deepest trial or your greatest tragedy, and something in you is still compelling you to say, thank you, God. I love you, Jesus. I worship you with all my heart. But if we are walking around like so many do, if we're walking around constantly worrying about what's happening in life, or not happening in your life for that matter, because somehow we think it's something that we can take care of, or something that we can control ourselves, then as long, listen to this, you need to hear this, as long as we make about this about what we're capable of doing, here's some news for you. We'll never experience all God has for us. If we think it's about us and what we can do, we'll never embrace the fullness of God in our life and see the greatness of God flow through our life. Sometimes, you know, even me, dare I say, sometimes I've got to shake myself. Anyone else would take the time you need to shake yourself? You get a little bit down. You want to do that? I am such a dirty sinner. It must be just me. I'm alone. Sometimes I've got to shake myself and get hold of the situation, you know, and reflect, is what I'm doing, is what I'm doing, is it working out for me? Is that working out in my life? Because that's really pretty much what these lepers did. They may not have done the right thing, but at least we're willing to stand up and go and do something. Do something. Read on in Scripture, verses 7. So after the sun went down, they got up and went to the camp of Aram. When they got to the edge of the camp, surprise! Not a man in the camp. The master had made the army of Aram hear the sound of horses and a mighty army on the march. They told one another, the king of Israel hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to attack us. Panicked, they ran for their lives through the darkness, abandoning tents, horses, donkeys, the whole camp just as it was, running for dear life. These four lepers entered the camp and went into a tent. First, they ate and drank. Then they grabbed silver, gold, and clothing and went off and hid it. Scripture says they came back, entered another tent, and looted it again, hiding their plunder. Finally, they said to one another, we shouldn't be doing this. This is a day of good news, and we're making it into a private party. If we wait around until morning, we will get caught and we will get punished. Come on, let's go and tell this news to the king's palace. See, I love that scripture in there, because when you and I, and we'll find ourselves here from time to time, when we find ourselves in the place of God's abundance, when we find ourselves in the place of absolute blessing, we should know at that moment with absolute confidence there's always more than enough to share. There's always more given from God to share out. Human nature will tell you to get your portion, to get your lot, to get what is yours. But God's word declares there's an abundance of enough for everyone who's willing to believe and then willing to receive. Is that you today? Is that you today? The thing is, not everyone is always willing to do this. And this is the world that we live in today. Read on in verses 10. So they went and called out at the city gate, telling what had happened. We went to the camp of Aram and surprise. The place was deserted. Not a soul. Not a sign. royal palace, given them the whole story. Roused in the middle of the night, the king told his servants, "Let me tell you what Aram has done. They knew he was starving, so they left the camp and have hidden the field, thinking when they come out of the city, we'll capture them alive and take the city." That's the leader. Let me tell you this. Fear will keep you from doing a mountain of things. Fear will do that. God's word has promised and declared all things possible to those who are willing to believe. Are you willing to believe in God? So even with four first-hand accounts or witnesses, the king still trusting and believing where? Not his heart, but in his head instead of his heart. He knew in his own life that God could do anything he wanted to do. But like all of us, even still today, he couldn't believe God had done the impossible for him at this time and the people of God. Read on, verse 13. One of his advisors answered, let some men go and take 5 of the horses left behind. The worst that can happen is no worse than what could happen to the whole city. Let's send them to find out what happened. They took 2 chariots with horses. The king sent them out with the army of Aram with orders, scout them out, find out what happened. They went after them all the way to Jordan. The whole way was strewn with clothes and equipment that Aram had dumped in their panic flight. The scouts came back and reported to the king. King, you're not going to believe it, but just as the lepers had said, it's all there for the taking. The opposing army has fled from their camp, and there was not a soul to be found. Verse 16. The people then looted the camp of Aram. Food prices dropped overnight. A handful of meal for a shekel. 2 handfuls of grain for a shekel. God's word to the letter. The king offered his attendant, the one he leaned on for support, to be in charge of the city gate. But the people turned into a mob, poured through the gate, trampling him to death. Look at the word of God, because that's exactly what the holy man had said when the king had come to see him. Every word of the holy man to the king, a handful of meal for a shekel, 2 handfuls of grain for a shekel, this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria, with the attendant's sarcastic reply to the holy man, "You expect me to believe that? Trap doors opening and food tumbling out of the sky," followed by their response, "You'll watch it with your own eyes, but you won't eat as much as a mouthful." True, dead at the city gate. Dead at the city gate. Listen to this, church. When God, our good God, when God goes to the trouble and tells you he's going to do something, we cannot afford to be like this attendant and declare our unbelief. We can't be found in such a place as that. The word of God is saying to us today, receive the word with gratitude and with gladness. Stand on that word. Hold fast to the word of God, but above all else, completely believe the word to be true. The word of God to be true, because I'll tell you why that's important. Because in that word that may be coming to you today, your deliverance and my deliverance await, and that deliverance holds the key to the miracle that you've been waiting for. So, church, and dearly beloved, no matter what I'm facing today, or no matter what you're facing today, no matter what's going on around in this skeptical world and cynical world that we are living in today, no matter what our friends think of us today, no matter what media or social media is speaking to us today, no matter what our finances are trying to dictate to us today, no matter what our family members may be whispering in our ears, and no matter what our body is saying to us about our condition, all that matters about my life and all that matters about your life as a child of God and as a church today, all that matters is, God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying? Will you always feel like singing a praise song to God? Will you? When you get the bad news and the challenge you're facing is like a mountain that's absolutely packed on your doorstep, we probably won't feel much like singing or giving thanks to God at that particular time. But if you look at Psalm 23, there's one line or two lines in Psalm 23 that goes like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen. I will fear no evil. That means, now listen to this, here's encouragement for you today in thanksgiving. That means even though you're walking through it, you're still walking. You're still walking. You're not just moving through it. You're not going to set camp up there, though. That's not going to happen in your life. You're not going to settle and build a house at that particular time, because every circumstance is temporary. It has a beginning and it has an end. And when it's over, there are no to-be-continued episodes in God. None whatsoever. We don't have to sit here and wait and wait and wait for everything to be perfect before we give thanks and before we celebrate God's goodness. When God is going to do something in your life, because if you sit and wait, it'll never happen. It'll never happen for you today. When we don't feel, when we do not feel like praising or celebrating or giving thanks to God for His goodness, the job is to stand up and say, thank you, God, anyway. Thank you, Jesus, anyway. That's when we need to praise God the most in our life. And that's when we need to let faith rise in our hearts and determine our expectation instead of how I feel. Doesn't go by how I feel, because when you look at this, that's where our heart knowledge sparks and something comes alive. And I believe when you start praising and when you start thanking God even today, something is going to spark in your life of the goodness of God, of the Spirit of God, so that out of your belly will flow life, will flow rivers of living water today. That's where it comes from. And as we allow this to happen, what happens for you and I is our faith gets more stronger and our problems become less, because when you praise Jesus in spite of your circumstances or how you feel or what your body may be telling you, you begin to see the goodness of God well up in your heart, so you cannot contain what God has put in your life. And I wonder if some of us need to get more radical this year or this year coming in our faith and begin to stand and shout about the goodness and the greatness of God in our lives like never before, and rejoice in the matter that God has done exceedingly wonderful, beautiful, great things in my life, because I don't serve a God who's wishy-washy, but a God who is sovereign and a God who is in control. And I will bow the knee only before my God, who is good and who is worthy to receive all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And I've got something else to do for somebody today, because this is important for the church and it's life and death matters. Listen to this. Nobody else can touch God for your need. You need to hear that. Some things we use other people as crutches, thinking they'll get us there. Nobody else can touch God for your need. They can't praise Him enough, and they can't go and do what you and I need to do. They can't receive what you and I need either. Only you and I can do that. We must come before Him ourselves. Scripture says, what does God do? God inhabits the praises of His people. And we can argue this regarding prayer or praise and worship, but both are similar. There's no closer form of communication than prayer. But we could argue praise and worship comes a very close second to prayer. But the thing is this, there is no better way or no time to ask Him to meet your needs than when you praise Him today, right in the middle of your storm or right in the middle of your fire. When you stand up and say, Lord, I'm still standing. The year's come to an end. I've got a reason to be grateful. I've got a reason to rejoice. I've got a reason to sing today, because my good God in heaven has blessed me abundantly, and my cup this morning is running over with gratitude and love and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, because I'm here, Lord, which means my year has been triumphant and my life has been victorious, because I've stood on the word of God, the promises of God, that He won't leave me nor forsake me, but will be with me through every moment. I'm nearly done. I'm not. John 16, verses 23. This is what I want you to do. Ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things I have revealed to you. Ask in my name, according to my will, and he'll most certainly give it to you. Listen to this line. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. Just get in there. Just get right in there. Are you getting it this morning? Listen, as long as we think someone else can fix my problems, it still makes it about what you're capable of instead of what only God can do with and about your situation. But here's the good news again for the church. God, has he not already given and equipped me with all I need to be and live the Christian life victoriously? I've got it all already, so I wonder about this today, if we're ready for some challenges that have been set before us. And maybe we've seen some wins in the battlefield already this year. But I wonder, is anyone getting ready as a believer to begin confusing the enemy? We need to confuse the enemy through prayer and speaking in tongues. If that's you, let faith begin to excite you today. And let faith arise in your heart. How many is ready right now for some suddenly moments? For some suddenly exciting moments? And stand in the Word. Stand on your faith. I wonder this year, are you ready to go after the enemy like never before and challenge him, call him out, and call him for what he is? Some of us need to be ready to go into enemy territory and take back all the beautiful stuff that he's taken from you. Your job is to go after it and let him know that God's in control and God's in charge. Remind him that he is defeated. He lost the battle on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. But here's the thing. Some of us are going to have to turn off our head knowledge. Turn off our head and believe with your heart and energize your Holy Ghost faith. Let it come alive like never before. Because here's the deal as we close today. Praise is putting action behind your faith. It's putting action behind your faith. So in the middle of your situation or your tough time or your season of testing, here's three S's for you today. Stop. Stop seeing yourself in the what's wrong with you line. As a negative, start seeing yourself in the everything's great with me in Jesus Christ my Lord, praise God line. That's the line we're after. Then step out of faith and begin to make that beautiful list where you can say, look at all the things that God has done for me. Look at all the wonderful things that God has done in my life. I'll say it again. God already provided everything we would ever need. Everything we'd ever need. Every trial we face has been provided for. Amen. Every obstacle we will come up against has already been defeated. Hallelujah. Every need that will ever rise, God has abundantly provided and supplied the provision to not only meet that, but to exceed. Hallelujah. To exceed the need and share out of the abundance of that need being met in those round about us who God brings into our life. Because understand this, God's gift of grace called Jesus already has paid the price for every one of your needs. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad today? Jesus gave his life, aren't we? We rejoice in that and that alone and has overcome the world, and we praise God. All we have to do is have the faith to believe that he did these things. In 1 John chapter 5, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God. What are we saying? We're saying thank God. We're saying believe Jesus for your need today. Can you do that? Believe Jesus for your need today. You have everything he has available to him. Thank God, because of a relationship that we have with Jesus. Jesus has qualified you and I and made us worthy, yes he has, to receive the grace that he extends to you. So church, receive it. Receive, but don't let any of this pass you by. We cannot afford to, in these perilous days, these dark days that we are living in, don't let this pass you by. Receive it, receive it, receive it. It has been given to you, pressed down, running over, shaken up, and all out of his abundance has all these things come. So receive these things for your life. Now, I'm going to sing, okay? Because we need to sing a real praise song then, don't we? And in this, we need to go, give God, they were on the walk today. Yeah. We're going to sing this old song. And it says, the Lord has given a land of good things. Is my accordion handy? So when we sing this, we're giving thanks, but we're receiving. We're taking it, alright, we're taking it. We're taking what God has given us. Did you forget that?